Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
Do you want a stable friendship? Get a horse. Yes. And I thought this was very appropriate. Where do cows go camping? Moo York. Yes, I thought that was very appropriate for our church. If you don't know, we do the Dryden Dairy Day Festival where there are like 1,000 people that come out to celebrate cows. We are not in the Israelites. I promise you there's no worshiping of the cow, but it is a very weird festival if you actually think about it, but that's okay. Apparently they do it in Sweden as well, so. It is week 2 of our City on a Hill series, and we're going to dive into the Word. So if you got your Bible, get it out. And I am just so excited to share this message with you today. Brian and I will be leaving very shortly after the service to go to a funeral. So if you need ministry after the message, I just want to put a disclaimer out there. Please connect with another pastor. We'll probably have time to say hi for just a second, but I just want to put that out there before we dive in. All right, so City on a Hill, God wants to transform our city. Have you ever thought, man, how is the city ever going to change, right? I don't know, if you've been here at all, I'm imagining you've thought that at least once. Who's thought that about your home? How is my family ever going to change? How am I going to ever change, right? And we're looking at City on a Hill because God didn't say you are a person on a hill, or you are a kid on a hill, or you're an old person on a hill, or you're a man on a hill, or a woman on a hill. He said you're a city on a hill. And so we're looking at what that actually means for us as a church. And it starts right here. I love the quote, and I need to actually get the actual quote because it's been several months since I've said it perfectly. But the idea is you pray and then you put legs to your prayers. And Brian was reading my message yesterday, and he's like, you got to explain that because some people have never heard it, and it sounds a little weird. If you say a prayer request to me, usually I'll say, put legs to it. And it's like, what is she talking about, right? But it's because we are to pray on earth as it is in heaven and then walk it out, right? And that's part of what being a city on a hill actually looks like. You know, cities were on hills during biblical times because you could be under siege for long periods of time, but survive because you could see. There was perspective. You were safe. And so part of being a city on a hill is actually the promise that you might feel like you're in a long battle season right now, but you can hold on because God has made you a city on a hill. Amen. And that's just a word of encouragement to anyone in a season that is hard right now. But our key verse is in Matthew 5:14. It says, you are the light of the world. A town or a city built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And just like last week, we talked about how you cannot put a city on wheels, right? And so in the gospel and in the church, we often talk about going, but before God ever said to go, he actually said to stay. And that's where we're going to actually land today and talk more about what that actually looks like. So our key verse today is John 15:4, which is remain in me and as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And I love that definition of remain because it means to be a permanent resident and to be present. I don't know if anybody here has 2 houses, but if you've ever, I have not had 2 houses, just to clarify, but I've seen people who have, and when you have 2 houses, it's really hard to keep both completely renovated and completely clean and safe and all of that because you're either at one or you're at the other. And when you're at one, you're normally neglecting the other, right? If you have like a lake house or something, normally, I won't ask who has had a lake house, but it's cool to have a lake house. My parents grew up with one. I did not. But when you go there, I've heard stories that you have to have an opening weekend. Right? Is anyone familiar with that? And then a closing weekend, because it's a lot of work to get the cobwebs off, right? And to see what broke over the winter. And so God is saying, you are a permanent resident. You're not a summer vacation home rental in the kingdom. You're not a winter rental in the kingdom. You're actually to be a resident in God totally, right? And so we are also called to be present. That's the other definition of that word, remain. I said last week that the world doesn't need more church culture. It needs more kingdom culture. Right? The world doesn't need more good intentions or a good idea. It needs faith in action. Amen? And so that's what we're going to look at. So point number one, we're going to break down what being a permanent resident actually means. I love the definition of abide. It means to continue without fading or being lost. Who has a hard time with that? Continuing without fading or being lost. I love that because it's a good definition of what it means to be present. Who here has ever been listening to somebody and then suddenly you come back and you have no idea what they were talking about? Anybody? I'm sure that's never happened during one of my messages here or during one of the other pastors' messages. It is one of the most embarrassing things. I was talking to someone, no one here, don't worry. I was talking to a friend. She lives in Hungary. If she's watching this is my confession. And we were doing a FaceTime and we were doing a book study and something happened on, and you know how it's really hard to keep present when you're looking at a computer screen, right? I got really distracted. She was opening up her heart, and when I came back to, I had no clue what she was saying. And I was so embarrassed that I tried to cover it up, which is the worst thing you could possibly do, because what you should say is, excuse me, can you repeat that, right? Let's be honest here. Needless to say, I did apologize later after the call, because I was really embarrassed. But it's really hard to stay present. And there's a study, actually, in 2017 that found the average American spends 4 years of their life escaping reality. Now, that doesn't mean that you're doing an addiction or something like that. It might. It might be a book. It might be a TV show. It might be social media. It might be daydreaming. Apparently, Monday at 1:56 p.m. is the time of day you are most likely to daydream, which is really dangerous because that's our only staff day here with Caleb and Natalie. So I'm going to be tracking us at 1:56. I'm pretty sure that's accurate knowing our staff meetings. But 1:56 is the time to maybe do a prayer alarm on your phone. But that's 13 hours of escapism per week if you really start thinking about it. Now, all of us are different, maybe at different stages of life. That looks different to you. Maybe you're extra intentional right now, but if you are, think back to a time when you weren't, right? Here are a few of the destructive escapism activities. Drugs, 50% of people age 12 and over have used drugs. These are according to some statistics I found. Alcohol, 1 in 12 men and 1 in 25 women have had an alcohol disorder of some sort. And pornography is the 25% of search engines requested. Ooh, let's talk about escapism and what it means to be present. I know I always say this, but I don't want to get to the end of 2023 with you and be looking in the mirror and be the same person we walked into 2023 as. We can talk all day long, but we need to apply this to our lives. We need to be present, and we need to be aware of the areas that we are trying to escape reality, because that'll catch up to us. We absorb, this was amazing. I was on a pastor's call this week, and the pastor said we absorb more information in the first 15 minutes of our day than an entire month in the early 1900s. I thought, no, we don't. And then I thought, golly, maybe we do. And then he went on to say we absorb more information in like a week or something than an entire year. You know, it just keeps going on. Because I think sometimes we think, man, why do I want to escape reality? I must be a horrible person. Have you ever thought that? Like, why do I keep going to this? Maybe it's not an addiction like drugs or something like that. Maybe it's something like you just want to be watching a lot of TV or something like that. Whatever it is for each of us, I've sometimes been like, why am I so bad, right? What's going on? But then I think, wait a minute, have I overloaded myself so much that my body, my nervous system, my mind, my heart, it's like it can't stay present, right? There's actually a physical reality to why we keep doing this in America and in around the world. But I did want to put a disclaimer that Thrive is not an abstract idea, right? And so if you are struggling with a more severe addiction in this place, I want to encourage you to take the brave step and step out. Let a pastor know because we're here to help you. But for others of us, it might just mean that we need to become more aware of why and when am I trying to escape reality? When am I clocking out? When am I zoning out? Are you with me? There is a war against our ability to remain present, to continue without fading or being lost. Anyone ever feel that? There is a war against your ability to be present. Remain in me as I also remain in you. John 15:4. I love this scripture in Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and our strength, a very... Okay, there we go. I was going to put in another word, but you caught me to it. A very present help in trouble. I love this because present means find. So in other words, God is saying, you're in trouble, I'm going to find you there. Right? Isn't that awesome? But I also love this other scripture. I'm going to just be doing a lot of scriptures today. Sometimes we lock into a story, but today I just have lots. So hang on there with me. John 14:6. Is that John 14:6? Yes. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if you've ever heard me preach on that, that word truth means reality. So why is it such a big deal to be present? Because when we escape reality in an unhealthy way, we open ourselves up to the opposite of God's truth. He says, I came to be the reality for you. So when we clock out, when we stop abiding, whether it's abiding in Christ or whether it's disengaging here in our world, we actually are disengaging, we're escaping the reality that Jesus died to give us. Are you following? I love this scripture in Matthew 26, and I think this might be why several of us came up to me and said I was exhausted today. So here it is. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. That word watch means wake up. Stay here and wake up. Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. And then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour, he asked Peter. Watch, or wake up, and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away a second time and prayed. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were so heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed. I love that word heavy. It means burden or oppressed. Jesus was inviting his disciples right here to be present with him. And their burdens and their oppression weighed them down. Have you ever thought that we have more oppression and burdens than the disciples? Anybody have like a poor me moment, right? No? Okay, just me? I've totally had that. Like, Jesus, can you see what's going on around here? Like, you know, are you here with, are you present? Ooh, that's a dangerous prayer to pray to Jesus, right? Are you present? Have you ever thought, man, if Jesus was here in the flesh, praying would be so easy? Come on, I can't be the only one. If Jesus was here on a Sunday morning in the flesh, worship, we'd have no problem. Everyone would be on their face, right? Well, what in the world is going on here then? See, we have the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, it's better I go away. You're getting the Holy Spirit. Why do we discount ourselves? The same war on relationship and being present that we fight, the disciples fought. The idea there are burdens and oppression that's new today is just not true. See, it says that Jesus is interceding right now before the Father. He's still praying on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done, Father, on earth as it is in heaven. It says Jesus is interceding right now before the Father for you and me. The question is, are we watching and praying with him? Or are we falling asleep? Are you following me? In our marriages, in our workplaces, in our health, whatever it is, in our growth, in our relationship with God, are we actually watching and praying? Because Jesus is still praying before the Father like he was in Gethsemane. And he's saying, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Wake up. Don't zone out. Romans 8:34, Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. I love Isaiah 58. Again, I'm repeating a few scriptures this month, and that's because I hope we can actually get them in our spirit. It says, some of you will rebuild the deserted ruins of your cities, and then you will be known as a rebuilder of walls and a restorer of homes. And that word home means abide and remain. But what I looked up this week was what that word restore means, because I thought it might mean something like sozo, you know, to heal, rescue, deliver, save, right? That would be appropriate in this verse, to heal, rescue, save, deliver the home. But what it actually means is to return. So Jesus' mission on earth was to return the gift of abiding that we lost in the Garden of Eden. He wants to return the gift of being present. You know, as I was sitting here during communion, I realized that the greatest gift outside of salvation that Jesus gave us by being on earth was being present. Right? He didn't just snap a finger from heaven and salvation happened. He said, no, I'm going to be present. So what makes us think that we don't need to be present? In fact, he saw a dying and chaotic world, confusing, scary, and just a mess. And he said, I'm going to be present there. Yet how often do we say, I see a dying, chaotic, confusing world. I'm going to escape reality. Right? So the question is, are we going to be like Jesus? Are we going to do what Jesus did? All right? So let's keep going here. I love Romans 13, 11 through 12. To live like this is all the more urgent, for time is running out, and you know it is a strategic hour in human history. I love this because this was written 2,000 years ago. So for anyone who's always like, it's a strategic moment, I'm like, yes, it has been that way for 2,000 years, but it doesn't mean it's not, right? So keep saying it. Keep saying it. It's true. It's always true. But it is time. Everyone say it's time. And if it was time 2,000 years ago, it is sure time to wake up. For our full salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Night's darkness is dissolving away as a new day of destiny dawns. So we must once and for all strip off what is done in the shadows of darkness, removing it like filthy cloths. And once and for all, we clothe ourselves with the radiance of light as our weapon. What does it mean to be present? It means to clothe ourselves in the light of God, because how many know the light, when the light comes on, you see what's around you. You wake up, the day comes and you are present, right? You can't hide in the light. And that light is a weapon, not against flesh and blood. It's incredible because when I was just looking up, I don't normally look up this many statistics, but for some reason I was in a research place this week, and 1 in 3 people say they are lonely in the USA. 20% of wives and 24% of husbands say they're lonely. That's according to the National Institute of Health. So if you're single in here, it's easy to be like, oh, I'm lonely because I'm single. But just so you know, that is not just a thing that you're dealing with. It's actually a widespread issue. And Jesus came to return the ability of abiding, right? To wake us up, to be present, because that's the gift he gave the world. And that's the gift he's asking us to give each other and the world by being a city on a hill. Relationship and connection is not a feminine idea. It is not a masculine idea. It is a creation idea. All right? Relationship and connection is not a feminine idea. It's not a masculine idea. It's an original creation idea from the Garden of Eden. And it's what Jesus came to restore. If you've been coming to Thrive Nights, and it'll be again in 2 weeks, we've been getting into what does it look like to have healthy relationship and healthy community. It's not romantic, it's just basic that can apply to any kind of relationship. Because as I said at Thrive Night, if we're to be a city on a hill, we cannot have all the communications down. If you've ever been in New York City when the power goes out, I have not, but I'm pretty sure Pastor Tom has because of the heating grid, it's chaotic. It's a nightmare. Nobody knows how to talk to each other if the cell phones are down, right? Have you ever had a nightmare that the cell phones go out? A city on a hill has to know how to communicate. We have to know how to forgive. We have to know how to be present and not escape reality, but actually be in Jesus's reality, which is the ultimate way to actually be safe in a chaotic world. Amen? So the question is, what is the way you escape your burdens or you escape the pressure? And is it drawing you closer to God or pulling you away? All right? So if you take a question home to think about, talk with someone about this week, think about that and process through that. Maybe for some of you, it's an addiction and you're going to need to get some help, maybe professional help. Maybe it's an addiction like a phone addiction or something like that. And you're like, you know what? I need to put a time limit and I'm going to give my friend or my spouse or whatever a time limit on that app or whatever it is. But whatever it is that disengages you with the reality around you in an unhealthy way, it draws you away from God. All right, so that's the question. But number two, as we're starting to wrap this up, is you are a permanent resident. Everyone say permanent. 1 Samuel 12:22 says, "For the Lord will not abandon his people on account of his great name." That's really good news. It's not on account of us, it's on account of him. Because the Lord has been pleased to make you a people for himself. God first chose you as his permanent residency. He looked all over the world and he thought, that marriage, I want to be permanent in that marriage. That parenting relationship, I want to be permanent in that relationship. That work relationship, I want to be permanent there. I want to be permanent. And again, as I said, I think it was last week or the week before, we live in a very transient area. And sometimes that culture around us in Tompkins County can kind of get into our spirit life. And God is all over the place, right? God is all over the world, not all over the place. I didn't mean that in a negative way, but he's not transient. He's permanent, right? And so we need to get a hold of that because a city on a hill is permanent. I want to just wrap up with this story. A few years ago, before COVID, I got to go to Greece, and I was on a little island named Lesvos, which is 4.5 miles off the coast of Turkey. And I got to stand on the edge of the shore, and you could look out, and you could literally see Turkey right there, kind of like a Kuga Lake, but a little bit farther. And it was actually when the pastor was being held in Turkey. So we were praying for him while we were on the edge of the shore. But it's an island that has 86,000 people on it. So that's actually less than Tompkins County, if you're in Tompkins County. But they had received over 500,000 refugees when I was there, and that was years ago. It housed one of the biggest refugee camps in Europe, and it unfortunately that camp is now burned to the ground since my trip. But it was called Camp Moriah, and it was built to accommodate 3,000 people. However, there were more than 17,000 people there by the end of it at one time. How many know that is not a good situation? And when I was there, I didn't get to go inside the camp, but I did get to go to the edge of the camp. And I remember looking at it, and I've done a lot of World War II study, and I thought, man, this looks like a concentration camp. This doesn't look good at all. And I just realized since then that actually Pope Francis literally referred to it as a concentration camp. That's how poor the conditions were there. And we got to meet an Iranian man. We were sitting, we were walking on the road next to the camp, and there was a rock that overlooked the sea and overlooked Turkey. And there was this young man sitting there. He was just looking out. And my friend and I went up to him. He didn't speak any English. Maybe he spoke like one word, because somehow we were able to at least say hi to him. I'm not sure how. But we ended up praying for him. Again, he probably didn't know what we were doing, but we were being nice and respectful. And I will never forget looking into his eyes. Because unless you've looked into the eyes of someone who only has clothes on their back and is looking for a permanent resident somewhere, you forget what it actually means to be a citizen of heaven. You forget the cost of salvation and the value that we have as being a member of God's family. Are you following me? While we were there, we got to go to a restaurant that was run by two Greeks. They were a married couple. They were older. And every day they cooked, just the two of them, they cooked 2,000 meals for all these refugees. And then they started another area with some other people, and they started giving music lessons and giving clothing out and spreading the gospel. And that was actually really revolutionary, because how many know if 500,000 people show up at your front door, not everybody is kind of happy to see everybody, right? And so there was a lot of tension, a lot of mixture of different peoples and different beliefs, and they chose to be a city on a hill, literally. They literally chose to be a refuge to all the people that were coming looking for a permanent residency just somewhere in the future. So why don't you stand on your feet this morning? We have all been refugees looking for a home. Hebrews 11 says, "For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God." I love it. Architect means craftsman, artisan, or artist, excuse me, builder. And builder means mechanic. So he was looking for a city whose mechanic was God. That's for all the mechanics here. Let's put that out there. Sometimes we get too philosophical, but it's really practical. And that word look, he was looking for a city with foundations. That word look means to receive. That changes it a little bit. He was receiving a city with foundations. My question to you this morning is, are you receiving a city with foundations? Are you receiving God in your daily life? Is it helping you to be present and realize that you are a permanent resident? When we look at the scriptures about Zion, and Zion is the city that God was referring to in when he says you are a city on a hill, I just want to read some of the descriptions of Zion to close out, because it's so powerful. Psalm 125 says, "Those who trust in the Lord are as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever." There's that word, abides forever. They stay present forever. Zion is seen from afar and a place of pilgrimage. Zion is where people went to be blessed and to be changed and to meet God. It's where God dwelled. It was chosen, it was holy, it was clothed in strength and love. It has salvation. It's where God's compassion is. It's where his unity and his blessing is commanded. God's resting place forever. It's blessed with provision. All the needy there have food. Is desired by God, won't be moved, is the joy of the whole earth, and is where the King is coming back and where the Lamb of God will stand again. There are references to everything I just read there. When you wonder what it means to be a permanent resident, and some of us are in situations where we're like, I don't want to be a permanent resident in this moment in my life. In fact, I'd like to not be a permanent resident. Maybe some of us are thinking that while I've been talking about this. I want to remind you that the reality Jesus died to give you is not necessarily just what you're seeing with your eyes, but it goes deeper, and it's supernatural, and it's through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's through daily abiding and prioritizing the presence of God in your life. So I just want to leave you with this blessing. I bless you this week to permanently reside in God's love for you, in his presence and holiness, in his strength, in his sozo salvation that rescues, saves, and delivers, in his compassion, in his unity, in his rest, in his provision, in his unshakable foundation, and his joy for our world and for your world right now. Father, I thank you for the gift of residency. And God, just like meeting those refugees in Greece, I'm reminded, and we are reminded this morning, of what it really means to be a citizen of heaven, looking for a city whose builder and architect and mechanic even is God. Father, we don't take the gift of salvation for granted today. Teach us how to be present in our world. Father, to watch and to pray just as you are interceding right now before the Father. God, this week I thank you that you are breaking the chains of addiction off of anyone standing here. Father, I thank you that you are shifting our habits, shifting our priorities, even supernaturally this week. God, in any ways that we have been disengaging from reality in a toxic way, maybe it's been hurting ourselves, our relationships, our relationship with you, God. Father, I thank you that you are setting us free that you are turning the light on, and you are making any way of escapism that tasted good last week to taste horrible this week, that we would spit it out so that we could taste and see that you are good. Teach us how to be present in a chaotic world just like you are, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.